I want you to look at the theme for today, which is eternal life. So, in John 17th chapter, if you have it, go ahead and read it, verse 3, 17:3. If anyone has that? No one? All right. Yes. I'll read it. You got it?
Yep.
All right, read it.
And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent.
And this is life eternal. So, the whole reason why Jesus came to earth was to give us eternal, everlasting, no beginning, no ending life. He has life in himself as the Father and Holy Spirit. God has life in himself, so even if you kill him, it doesn't work. He did die, and he did rise again for our sakes, showing the death that was due to us for our sins. But now, that's gone forever because of eternal life. So now you have life in yourself based on, derivative of, the mercy of God that forgave your sins. And now we see that by faith, but someday we'll see him. Today we see his word, and we believe in the word. But tomorrow, next year, 2 years from now, 5 years, 20 years, doesn't matter. Whenever he comes back, you'll see him. So we're not believing in it, the word. We're believing in him, the living word. So the written word leads us to the living word. And every week we preach out of the written word, because you cannot know Jesus Christ except through his words. These are his words, which have been recorded. 66 authors recorded all the books, Old Testament and New Testament in the Bible. But they're God's words. They are not human words. Everyone imagines these are just words. No, they're actually God's words. And the fact that God wants to communicate with you, with everybody, is a testimony to the fact that God loves you. This is the love of God, that he should even speak to us. After all, we're sinners. And we have all sinned and fallen short of God's original glory, his original purpose for creating us, which is to be Christ-like, to be just like Jesus. And so no one is born that way. We're all born in sin. We're all conceived in sin. So you have to learn this by revelation. So his word is given to us to tell us the truth about God, the truth about yourself, the truth about everyone. The truth is that we all have enmity against God when we're born, and that enmity doesn't go away until you hear the word of God. Buddhism will not do this. Hinduism will not do this. Taoism and so on, so forth. Judaism will not do it. It's a... If they could have obeyed the law with all their heart and soul and strength and loved their neighbor as themselves, then they would have gone to heaven. Unfortunately, because of sin, they cannot. Because of sin, they cannot. Once you have one sin, you're liable to do the whole law. And so you're liable if you kill once, this is the same as though you killed 100 times, 1,000 times. The whole law is just tied up in your being a steward of God's grace, of God's mercy, of God's power, of wisdom, and so on and so forth. We should have on the earth manifested our lives in such a way that people saw God, heard God. That was our original purpose on being on the earth, to steward God's mysteries. Now today I want to speak to you about the secret knowledge. Secret knowledge. Not of sin, because that's been ubiquitous. That's been with us from the beginning. Everyone knows the mystery of iniquity. Maybe not the specifics, but it's revealed in the scripture that Satan is your enemy, and he will not, cannot ever return to God, and all the demon angels with him, one third of the angels. That's the mystery of iniquity. However, for angels, there's no forgiveness. For you, there is. If you believe in Christ, if you believe in his word, if you believe in the Bible, God counts that as righteousness. You don't have to see it. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to want it. But if you believe the words, you have eternal life. Wow. How's that? By believing in the word, God counts that as righteousness. So your righteousness is based on the fact, and there it is behind me, believing, being discipled, disciplined, submitting to his lordship, and then being perfected in love. That is the perfect man. That's what you originally created to be, and that's what you are now, though you don't see it. You can't see your holiness now, nor can others. No one can see your holiness. It's hidden in your heart. You have a new heart. But it's revealed that you still sin. Christians still sin. So that hasn't been removed. So you have to have faith that it will be the good work he began in you, he will surely complete. So eternal life, everlasting life, no beginning, no end, your mortality will be swallowed up. On the cross, it already is, by faith. But you will actually see, when Jesus returns, him, not it. You'll receive him. You already have, but you don't see it. But when you see him, you'll know him as he is. And you'll see him, and you will love him with all your heart and soul and strength, and you'll know it. Because your faith will be gone. Your hope will be gone because you see him. So, awaiting for the second coming of Christ, which could be in a few years. I won't explain how, but it could be in a few years. It's more likely that you'll be alive when he returns. This could be the closing generation. If you do see him, you'll see him as he is, and suddenly you'll have love not only for God, you'll have love for your fellow man, and you'll see it. And you'll actually feel it, want it, and do it, because it's no longer by faith. And so your heart now is full of faith. Faith dwells in the heart, because that's where the promises are kept. Faith keeps those promises. And faith in this world is no faith at all. Man at his best states altogether, vanity. So it's no faith at all. You can't have faith in this world. Faith in man, faith in princes, faith in pastors, faith in anyone, faith in parents. You cannot have perfect parents to the eye. But they already are perfect for you, because God in his wisdom has given you the perfect life, and you'll have to be patient, because you do not yet look like you're perfect. You'll have to be patient. But he said, the good work I began, I will surely complete, fulfill. So the fact that you are a saint today but doesn't look like saint, it doesn't look like saint, it's not a problem. He knows that you are a saint, and in his eyes, it's already finished, because he doesn't need faith. He already sees it in heaven. So God the Father wants you to have the same life he has, but your life will always, even in all eternity, your life will always be derivative. Related to the relationship you have with Jesus, and all your performance then is not yours. All your performance as a Christian is based on the Word of God. It's based on what you read. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to understand it. You just simply know all my works are wrought in God because he did them. If you did them, they don't count. Nothing that you did that you're proud of will count because you didn't do them. He did them, or else they haven't been wrought in God. So everything you do today is to achieve the prize, which is eternal life. So you have eternal life in your heart, spirit. You don't have eternal life in your soul. He is daily working that in your soul, but it won't be perfected till he comes back. He will be the finisher. So you cannot finish it yourself. In fact, you can't even start it. This is all a work of heaven, and that's why by faith, and it's important to do it by faith, long before you see it, by faith, you actually believe you're a new creation, though you don't always act like it. So you have to forgive one another. You have to forgive one another. You're married to someone who's not perfect, and you can't see that because you're not. You can't see that you're imperfect. And so everyone is imperfect. There's not a person on earth that's perfect. Not. So you trust in princes, foolish. You trust in pastors, foolish. Popes and so on. They are not reliable. They're still mortal. So the Roman Catholic Church got ahead of the schedule, and they decided that they would declare they were the true church now, and they're visible. No, they're not. Everything is by faith. None of it's by seeing. Thomas messed up by saying, I won't believe until I see. Jesus said, blessed are those who not seeing yet believe. So believing is seeing spiritually. Believing is seeing spiritually, because those are the only eyes. And when Jesus comes back, you'll see that you're not only spiritually called, but you actually are spiritual. And you'll see it. You'll love everybody. Today, you're trying. You're doing your best to try not to mess up or something. But it's not possible. So I just want you to know, when someone sins against you, they're just doing what's in them. It's not the real person. When they sin against you, that's not the real person. And many people will die never having been real. They're already dead. Even though they're breathing, they have existence, but they're not Christian. And even though they look like a Christian, they may act like a pagan. And anybody here is capable of that. Anybody. So there are no exceptions. So everybody here is only a believer by faith, and you have to cling to that and not wish it would be different. Oh, I wish Jesus would come. You don't really want Jesus to come. What you want is be patient. You're not going to see it until he comes back, and you don't have any control over that. You have no control over Jesus coming back. Jesus, I've been good for 2 weeks. That won't do it. For a whole month, I haven't sinned at all. No, you not only won't go to heaven because of that, you'll also go to the other place because of that. because you cannot do a good work. You can do it by faith, but you cannot do it in fact. So you can't see it ahead of time. So he said to Thomas, you know, you've now stuck your hand in my side and in the nails in my hand and so on and so forth. But blessed are those, happy are those, who not seeing yet believe. So what he wants is now believing. It doth not yet appear, and it won't appear until Jesus comes back again, and you have no control over that. So he's coming, but we don't know exactly when, but it's the next thing on the agenda after a few things, like after the tribulation on the Jewish people. The tribulation is for the Jewish people, but many Christians who are Christians in name only, in form only, they have the form of religion but deny the power of it, they may go through the Great Tribulation. You will not. You will not. Because some things could happen between now and then, and if you're not part of the hot church, what's hot? Loving God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. That's hot. But you have to do it by faith. You can't love your neighbor in fact. Well, do you really mean that? You can't say you really mean that I love you. If I say I love you, that doesn't mean I felt it. Doesn't mean I understood it. Doesn't mean I grasped it. So you can say I love you all day long based on faith. And I do. And practice at home with your family, and then because people see the opposite. But if you practice at home, you might practice it on somebody else. Can you say, so if people ask me how you're doing, I always say perfect. Because I'm practicing. I'm practicing. Because they're wanting to catch me in something or whatever. I'm easily caught. So, sorry that I'm half an hour late today. But I did learn a lot about Irving. I learned because I was heading north and I missed the pass at Grapevine. There, you go to 635 and it had the thing in my lane. It said 635, but it went off to the east and it got on 114. That's not 635. It meant the other direction. I should have been over one lane. Then I'd have been all right. And because there was a fog out there today, you're really not clear on where you are. I knew I was in Grapevine, but it was foggy. It was foggy all the way here. And so, where am I, Lord? I know what time it is, and I'm not there. So the best has been saved to the last.
Amen.
Now, I'm going directly for the prize. Behind you is how you get there. That's the perfect person. You are that perfect person. You have faith in Jesus. Now your sins are forgiven. But you still have them. Then in the next one, you die. You submit to him as Lord. Because submitting is different than believing. If you believe in God, then you're believing in his words. But believing is not the same thing as you being dead. You have a promise that the good work he began in you will surely complete. So you are now a new creation. Kinekinesis. It means you're not of this world. You're no longer Gentile. You're no longer Jewish. You're no longer anything of this world. But you look like it. So he has to kill you, and this is proof that by killing you daily, he's hardest on his own children. It's not hard on Obama. He's not hard on Hillary. What he's hard on is his church. Are you truly hot, not lukewarm? Because the lukewarm church is not the biggest sin in the world, but it's bad because your hopes are dashed because you've mixed church with state. You've mixed this world love of this world with love of God. You can't. So, but you and I are the fault because we're Christians and we want to go all the way. I don't want to just believe in it. I want to actually see the Lord's improvement in my life, not mine. Because when I express love, I'm doing it by faith. But it's actually His showing up in me. It's His actually manifesting His glory through me. And I believe it by faith, but I don't really see it, and I don't feel it, and I don't understand it. I'm just doing it because it says so in the Bible. So the Bible is above the sacraments. The Bible is above everything the church can do to get you perfected. The only reason we do all those things is because they're written in the Bible.
Praise the Lord.
So the Bible is above the church.
Praise God.
The Bible is above the visible church, but it's also above the invisible church. So you will have faith until Jesus comes. Then it will be real, and you'll know it. You will actually feel love toward all believers, all unbelievers, all enemies, everybody. And you'll feel love. You'll have the same love God has toward them. Today you do it by faith. But someday you won't do it by faith. So you have to be patient. You have to be patient. And it's very close. It's not far away. I could explain this. I don't really want to, but our calendars are off. So you can't go by the Gregorian calendar or any other calendar because the earth was upset at a certain point because of sin. And it was upset. And so you don't have 360 days in the year. That will be restored. And if he says the Antichrist will reign for 3.5 years, that's based on 360 days, which is 30 days to a month, including February, 30 days to the month. And today, if you actually add it up day by day, you'd get 29.5. That little hiccup, I can tell you all the scriptures, 82:5, Psalm, tells that. It tells how that happened. But the enemy thinks to change the time. The enemy thinks they'll change the seasons and the time. You can't. God sticks to His original plan. I'm not talking about calendar right now. I'm just saying, don't go by the calendar, Jewish or Christian or Gregorian or whatever, or Julian. There's all kinds of calendars. That's why I say it could be happening soon. And so don't rest on your laurels and say, well, it's a few years off. Yeah, it is. But believe me, when the days start counting, because the Antichrist sits in the temple, it hasn't been built, but we know where to build it, and I'm not going to go into all that. But it's in Jerusalem, but it's not on the Temple Mount. That's a pagan site. That actually is where the Roman soldiers, almost 6,000 and sometimes 10,000, had their tents up there. And they were in charge of keeping peace, Pax Romana, in that area. And they were 600 steps away from the real temple, which is in the city of David. Cara and I were there a few months ago, Thanksgiving.
Margaret.
Did I say?
Cara.
Cara, yeah.
She should have been there.
She should have been there. So Margaret and I were there, and we crawled through the crawled through because they have dug something that is related to the Gihon Springs. And Jesus, He healed a man's eyes put mud on him and say, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He's blind. He's blind. But people lead him there, and he finally washes, and he can see. That pool is still there to this day. It's still water running. Anyway, we were walking up the tunnel to the city, upper city. But they had to use that in case they were sieged. They had to use that. That's a Jebusite city at the time of Abraham. So I'm going way, way back. And they were pagan. And they wanted to defend themselves from enemies. Everyone was at war with everybody. And so at the time of Melchizedek, Abraham's time, you remember he saw Melchizedek, that means the righteous king. I'm sorry, I'm getting off on a rabbit trail, but I'll get back to what I have in a minute. Melchizedek means the righteous, tzaddik. Melchah is king, the righteous king. So he was the king of righteousness, and he was a priest. The righteousness comes from his priesthood, and then his justice comes from his kingship. You also are, right now, your kings and priests in the kingdom of God. You don't know it. You don't see it. Nobody sees it. But you will when Jesus comes back. Because he will then rescue you in the sky and live in the mid-heavens with you until the new heaven and the new earth, which is you, coming down from heaven itself. The heaven singular of the heavens natural. Created. So the natural creation was part of the original creation. Amen. And he said that those heavens, natural heavens, the atmosphere and stratosphere and all that stuff, which you can see up, you can look up, at a certain point you can't see anymore because it becomes dark. So you can't actually see. Even if you went to Mars or Jupiter or whatever, you can't actually see all of that. And so, you when Jesus comes back, you'll be in the mid-heavens because Satan was kicked out to the earth. Now Satan is on the earth and all his demons. Don't you think you see him every day on television? Yeah, you do. You see what's happening. That the world has gone crazy. But it always was. It always was. Because it hasn't submitted to the Word of God. The written Word of God tells you what heaven looks like. You can read the book of Ezekiel. You can also read other things to tell you about another temple being built. That other temple is not the Ezekiel temple. The Ezekiel temple is strange. It's different than anything you've seen. It has gates on it that are at least 150 feet wide on the south side instead of just, you know, three doorways wide, as in the out in the wilderness temple and Solomon's temple. They didn't have gates like that. There's no gate on the west side, no gate at all. There's only a gate on the east side, and only God goes through that. So everybody else has to go through the north and the south. And that's a symbolic city as far as I know, but it's telling you things about the city of God, which is not of this world. So that incredible temple, everything in the precinct, the sacred precincts, everything is devoted to you. It's devoted to God and his people, and everything is set aside for God's purposes. So he not only enters on his own entrance, and then the doors are shut always. They're always shut, meaning no one can get through that door. So even the priest, even the king, the prince, they have to go through another gate. And so they're part of it, but they have to go through their own gate. So it's not talking about a temple that we've ever seen or heard of. So that That one is describing the dry bones, or the dry bones of the house of Israel. And I want to talk about that this year. But today I want to go all the way to the end and talk about eternal life. The whole point of Jesus coming to earth was to give you something you don't have. That's why it's by faith. You haven't ever seen it. You don't even know what eternal life is, but it's in your heart. Today it's in your heart. My life personally is devoted to doing what's in the Word. To whatever the Word says, I do it. But I'm in communication with God, and I hear Him and talk to Him and respond to Him, and He with me. That's something you don't see. That's by faith. But it's real. I mean, it's real. And so the only way you can know is by my behavior. You can't know by my saying so. But you can only know by my behavior. And that, you know, God's going to say someday, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Why? Because I was faithful. Meaning, I didn't even know what I was doing. But I was faithful to do everything God said to do, or I thought He said to do. I was faithful. Was I right? No. I'm not right. I'm well aware that I'm not right. Paul said, "I'm not yet perfect." So he wasn't yet perfect, even though everything he says is anointed. It's, you know, it's appointed by God. It's powerful. So you can't take everything I say as God's word. But in my knowledge, I'm only speaking to you what God wants to speak to you. In my own understanding, even if I mess up, and I will, so you can forgive me ahead of time. Pastor, we forgive you ahead of time for being an idiot. Yes. But my intention, which doesn't mean anything, it doesn't save me, but my intention is to do the will of God and to live every minute of every second of every day in God's presence. So, but I do that by faith. And you're going to do it by faith also. And so therefore, there's no, if somebody says, "I don't have a rhema of God." Somebody says, I didn't experience that," and so on. I wouldn't look for experiences. I'd look for Him. Beholding Him, we are changed. I'm going to say that again. Beholding Him, not it, we are changed from one degree of glory to another. If you look for something, you won't find it. But if you lose your life, you won't look for anything. That's the rub, is people don't want to lose their lives. They want to stay intelligent. They want to stay good, because they believe some things that they do are good. I don't believe anything I do is good. If I do good, it's a miracle. My deed were wrought in God. I didn't do it. And I'm quick to say that to somebody, "Oh, you blessed me," or "You helped me," and so on. I didn't. Jesus may have, the one in me, He may have done that. So give God the glory. You cannot even honor me unless you understand the word honor with a small h. You can honor me because I'm in an office called pastor or disciple or apostle or whatever. But I want to have the perfect marriage, and that means my death. That means daily I must die to be the perfect husband for my wife. So, as Christ loved the church, so let every man. So, as Christ loved the church, so let every man love his wife. If she's in trouble, I'm in trouble. If she's hurting, I'm hurting. If she's confused? I'm not confused, but I have answers, but they're always in the Bible. It's not go and sit in the closet and get right with God. It's just read the Bible. Why? Faith cometh by hearing. So and I've asked her, when you read out loud the Bible, read it out loud so it goes out of your mouth and into your ear. Not this ear, but your spiritual ear. Because that's how you're hearing God. And if you keep doing that, someday you'll hear. Because you're seeking Him with everything that you have in you. Not seeking like a work. Seeking like based on promise. The promises are what faith is all about. So eternal life is for you on earth to actually experience God, even though not always. You're actually experiencing God because He wants to speak to you every day. I love you. You don't have to wait for Him to say it. You can just say it yourself in His name. God, I know you love me just as I am, but I want to be perfect. That's not my want to be, but that doesn't mean I am perfect. I just want to be. And I believe in you. Okay? That's just my heart crying out. The one I believe in is the one I trust, is the one I want to submit to, is the one I want to follow with my strength. Chair six is your strength. Love the Lord your God. Sometimes it says mind, but it's talking about your strength. So you're not good, you're not able, capable, and you're not, you're not good, you're not able, and you're not smart. But you think you are, but that's your old self still popping up to say, you are good, right, and smart. You're not. God is way more than you are. I mean, so incredible, you can't even think about it. I mean, just think that every green leaf you see on the trees, the other side of the tree has the leaf too, and you don't see it. So you can't see everything at once. You can't see to the depth of the ocean. You can't see all kinds of things that God has created, but they actually are whole, complete. But they're temporal.
Amazing.
But someday you'll be in heaven where everything will be spiritual. The wine that you drink is the best wine. He has saved the best wine till the last. Why? Because at the Last Supper He said, I won't drink again of the fruit of the vine until I bring you up. Because He's coming down to bring us up into the mid-heavens where Satan used to rule. But He's been kicked out of that. It's in the Bible. And so now He's on the earth to harass the earth, but His fury is enormous to keep everybody in ignorance. You've eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, everyone does, but you have another tree of life that is the antidote, that is the medicine, that is the balm in Gilead that heals the sin-sick soul. So you have a God right now that says, I don't want you to wait until you're in heaven to be heavenly. I want you to have heaven on earth. As it is in heaven, let it be on earth. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. You can't be in heaven to do this. On earth, as it is in heaven. So you can't wait for Jesus to come. Because it's on earth that it has to be seen. And you will not be ruling the earth when He comes back. The Jews will, according to the promise of Abraham, they will have their kingdom, not just a little postage stamp it is today, go all the way to the Euphrates River, east, go all the way up until Syria, Damascus, north, and all the way down into Africa, and if Robert is right, it includes Zimbabwe. And I think he might be. his relatives go back, his great 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 grandfather was born of Solomon and the Queen of Sheba, and we have his picture. We actually have what he looks like. It's in the British Museum, etc., etc., etc. So it's in Portuguese and so on and so forth. And Netanyahu said to him, "Robert, we know who you are. You are not only a prince, you are a prince in Israel. In other words, you're a king. You're royal." And he was surprised because they knew more about him than he knew. He knew that his family was old, but he didn't know he was Jewish. So now he's not only black, but he's also Jewish because of Solomon's romance. And so he had many wives, and that was one of them. Anyway, so his heritage goes way back, and so that includes Israel, because he now has the same blood coursing through him as Abraham. That's a powerful thing. So, and the Jews recognized that, and they told him, "We all know who you are, except you. You don't know." And he was surprised. Anyway, Robert can tell that story. But regardless of that, God is faithful. Whatever he has done, and the fact that it's done in our day, which we're not right near the end, the fact that it's done in our day means God is still at work. The work didn't stop when Jesus died and was buried and then resurrected and then ascended and then sits on the right hand of God. It's not over. And as a matter of fact, all the main things are yet to come. You thought what happened so far is powerful. Yes, it is. But all the promises haven't yet been fulfilled. So Israel will receive her kingdom back on earth. We won't be here. We'll be up in heaven, the Lamb and his bride. In fact, be the Lamb and his wife. We'll be the Queen of Heaven in that sense, not in the human sense. Because we then rule the world. And it says in the Bible, you'll be ruling over Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. You'll be ruling over the 12 tribes. In fact, you'll be judging angels, Satan's angels. So you have a very high calling. This is your destiny. You choose your destiny. It isn't just thrust on you. You choose it. If you have an everlasting life that never ends, because the word eternal actually means that you have no beginning or no ending, like Melchizedek. And Jesus had no beginning because he wasn't just Son of Man, the only begotten Son. That's what he means by only begotten. He was begotten to be Son of Man because he was Son of God, eternal. But he never left his eternity. He just simply gave up his omniscience, his omnipresence, and so on and so forth. So God is still good. And I thank God that he's good and that his mercy endureth forever. I thank God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. So his point in coming to earth was to give you eternal life. Now, it's a hope because you don't yet see it. But it's a hope, but it's a lively hope. It's not just a hope like, I wish it were so. Nuh-uh. And it's something you can live now because it's lively. He's communicating with you because he's within you. The kingdom of God is not out there that you can see. It's in here. Because your will, your mind, your emotion are not God. And they will never go to heaven. That's called flesh. And that was in a fleshly heart. Now you have a new heart. But you don't yet have a new soul. Because your will, mind, and emotion are still ruling over you. You still want pleasure in this world. Well, pleasure in this world doesn't compare with the pleasure that you have in having eternal life with God forever and ever, world without end.
Hallelujah.
Ages upon ages upon ages. And you'll never lose your spot. If you're one of His now, and all of you are by faith, if you're one of His now, you don't have to do anything, because you cannot do anything, because Jesus has done everything. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, so there's nothing to be done. You have no more sin, so there's no condemnation for them that were in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, because the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath set you free from the law of sin and death.
Hallelujah.
You're free of that. That doesn't mean then you can sin. You will sin, but it doesn't mean you can sin. It just simply means that's who you are, and you need to know who you are so that you can behave like what you are in God's sight.
Amen.
Not in your sight, not in others' sight. You are a saint of the living God. He calls you saints knowing you still have sin. How can He call you saints? To the sinners at Rome. No, He didn't write a letter like that. To the saints at Rome. Why? By faith.
Thank you, Father.
They were saints by faith, not by works of the law.
Amen.
Not by works. Because by the law, nothing is made perfect. Hebrews chapter 7. All of these things are in you. And what makes you mature? Hiding that word in your heart. Which I do hours, hours, hours every day. And when you do that, you're actually beholding Him, not it. You're not beholding what's written in the Bible. You're actually beholding Him. He is the living Word of God. That is the written Word of God. But the written Word of God is your only key until Jesus comes to the living Word of God. Because you can't see Him. You will not see Him. You don't even see the main one. That's why churches today are jumping the gun when they say, we already are the church. Well, but the great white throne judgment hasn't proven that yet. You won't even go through the great white throne judgment if you have faith until He comes. Because immediately you'll have your new body and your new soul. Faith and hope will be gone. Because you'll see Him. So the main point I want to make today is going all the way to the end, which isn't even in my seven chairs. There's much more. There's at least eight, which is the new heavens and the new earth. But you have to be a bride right now without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, and you say, I am. I am. I'm part of the bride. I am not the bride, but I'm part of the bride. I'm part of the group called Bride, which is His church, which the gates of hell have no power over. I want you to know this. Everything in the world can come under Satan except one thing, the church of the true and living God. This is eternal life. This is life everlasting. This is life that never ends and never had a beginning, because you are a new creation in Christ. This is it, to know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. This is the one that messes everybody up. Everyone doesn't mind that we have a God, because everyone knows there's a God somewhere. If there's 50 of them or 5,000 of them, there's a God that created the heavens and the earth. But what they don't know and they don't like is Jesus Christ is His Son. Because He just looked like an ordinary person. But He was actually you. This is you. You'll have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness out of chair 6 if you're dead in chair 5 because you were born again in chair 4. Does that make sense? That's you in perfection. That's you. That's Christ in you. You in Christ, because you are the dwelling place right now, though you don't see it. Dwelling place of God. He actually dwells in you. Christ is in you, in Christ. You're in Christ, Christ is in you. But the Father is in Christ, and the Holy Spirit reveals the Son who has the Father. So you have the whole Trinity inside of you, not bodily like Jesus did, because he has life in himself. But you have it there so that you can actually bear fruit right now. That men see it, evil men, people that don't have any faith at all. But when they see your faith in God manifested through love, joy, peace, patience, and so on, all of those fruits of the Spirit, they marvel at. How did you do that? How is that possible? How did you know that? How can that be? Read the Bible. You see, I'll think I'll do something apart from the Bible. You can't. The Bible is your whole life. That's you. What's in the Bible, that's it. There's nothing more until he comes back. And then we'll see him as he is. And whoever hopes in that, because hope is still now, purifies himself as he is pure. What's that? Meaning there won't be anything left. Why? Because God's always wanted a relationship with you. Peggy asked me yesterday, because I've been asking her, don't worry so much about your sins, because she's been confessing all her sins. Focus on the promises. Because if you have faith, it's always in a promise. Because everything in the Bible is a promise. Everything in the Bible is a promise. Everything in the Bible. I don't care if it has a form of a law, it's actually a promise. But everything is because he fulfilled it all. He is the end of the law. But anyway, what's your favorite verse for a promise? What promise do you cling to? Because she's been looking them up in the Bible to try to read those. And then her faith is always in a promise. Her faith is never in a law. Her faith is never in a law. It's always in a promise. So I said, well, I don't really do it like you're doing it, like confessing all my sin. Because I always knew I was rotten to the core. I don't do it that way. But you're trying to make another way where you confess all your sins. You can't. You can't even know all your sins. So as soon as you get one, there'll be another one and another one and another one. And it doesn't end. I learned that right away when I tried to confess all my sins. I couldn't. Because one would lead to another. And I didn't even know which ones were my sins. I had so many. And they just, you know, and I don't think I have this one. And then it would show up that day. And it's like, oh my gosh, I'll never finish this. And so I began to dwell on the promises. Because our religion is built on better promises than any law religion.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Anyway, so what's your favorite promise? I thought about it. I waited. What is my favorite promise? And then it came to me. I think God revealed it. It came to me. I will never leave you or forsake you. That's a promise. That's a promise. And I'll tell you why that builds up my faith. Because if he's eternal, I'm eternal. Because he said he'd never leave me. Now, if he left me, then I would be perished. But if he doesn't leave me, because he said, I will. I'm willing this. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'll never abandon you. No matter how silly you are and foolish you are and so on, I'll never abandon you. Wow. I said, I love that one. And I began to expound just because she asked me the question sitting across the table. Well, what's your favorite verse? I said, what verse have you been meditating on today? And she started some and said, well, but I don't know if I really believe that. And so on. So she said, well, I don't do it the way you do it. I just do it the simple way. I go on the promises because God said, all the promises of heaven are yours. Did you know you have every promise in heavenly places? You have them. The Bible says so. Well, I don't just believe that. I know that. It describes me. I believe that. Anyway, I will never leave you or forsake you.
It's
Never. If he never does, then he's always with me and I'm always with him. If he leaves, then he's not. But if he stays with me, if he abides with me, then I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit all working these things out to glorify himself. And also, I get to share in the glory because he gives it away for free. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, I'll give you everything else. So, I don't know what will happen this morning, but I think she'll be meditating on that.
Amen.
What a great answer, Shari.
I have a friend from Louisiana, a black friend, is part of a large group of black pastors that I officially am an apostle over. And I said to him one day, this is years ago, I'm not black. I don't know if you've noticed that. They say, are you an apostle? Yes. Are you a prophet? Yes. Okay, you'll be our apostle. So they named me that. And I said, I can't do that because I'm not black. They said, neither are we. They're all black. There are 400 or 500 of them. And they said, neither are we. These are all from Baton Rouge, which is the capital. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And that's one of the worst places that you think there's real racism and all that kind of stuff. But they had many ministers there that were white over black churches and white and black over whatever I said. But they were all mixed up and they were all friends. And I couldn't believe it. They had judges and doctors and so on and so forth. And I realized, wow, this is kind of interesting. Well, this man had a vision years ago that God wanted to work. He's a worshiper. And he wanted to have, he's a lawyer. He's first of all, is a top lawyer in Louisiana. But he's a lawyer, and he's going to speak in the Fort Worth church this morning and probably give his testimony tonight. It's powerful because this man is so tender. He's precious and calls me and even contributes to us, which I never asked for. I would never ask for. Never. But because I'm his personal prophet or pastor or apostle or whatever I am, I'm a man of God. And because of that, like Joel, he's completely knitted to me. And I wouldn't if I were him, but he is, and I accept it. I don't reject it because he's going through difficulties, not in his business, not in lawyering, because he sees the end coming and he wants to be ready for the Lord. And they had a vision in Louisiana to go up and down the Mississippi and save all those black people that live on either side of the Mississippi River, because most of them are pagan. They're into voodoo, they're into witchcraft and so on and so forth. And they don't even go to a church, most of them. They just live on what they call the Mississippi muds. And they said, if we had a boat, we could just travel up and witness to all of them and save them. And I believe that. I believe that. That's a real vision. Anyway, so if you have a friend that is non-white, it's powerful. If you have a friend, they'll never leave you in the battle. They'll stick with you. And because they have a different mind than we have. You know, we always, in the end, when we're in a pinch, we'll abandon you. They don't think that way. They're black and white in that sense. They say, no, that's not right. Whatever it takes, if it takes my life, I'm going to defend you. So you want someone of not white to be your friend, Because I'm telling you, and to have a friend who is white, who's is a believer, that's powerful.
Amen.
In Africa, without a white man, it won't work. They have to have somebody who is from outside themselves. And so Robert always says to Joel and so on, you need a white man. Because if you have one white man, you'll make it. So I can witness to their community what they can't say about themselves out of the Bible. And they can witness to me something I can't say. So it's powerful. Did you know that when three people, sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, if you have all three, you have heaven on earth. You don't know that because you don't see it. But whenever you have those three coming together, because not right now they have race wars and they're all mad at one another and whatever they say, dividing up the people and so on and so forth. Well, I don't have any enmity against anybody, and they don't have any enmity against me. When you find one like that, that's powerful. So love links us together, not culture. Love brings us together. And the world has always been that way, and it will always be that way until Shem, Ham, and Japheth begin to cooperate. And so, I don't know what I'm saying to you, but it's powerful. Eternal life means everlasting, no beginning, no ending. Aionios is the Greek word for eternal or everlasting, and it means ages upon ages upon ages upon ages. Iono is ages. So Aionios is plural. It keeps going and keeps going. So you're now living a life, but wouldn't it be wonderful if God of heaven came down and linked up with you and he was your best friend? He was one that loved you and wanted to marry you. That would be powerful. Well, that's the way it is with me. I believe and talk to Jesus all the time because he's my best friend. I don't want anybody else. I don't need anybody else. I just have Jesus. And the Bible says these words. With Jesus, he freely gives you all things. If you just have Jesus, you get everything. And so you don't really need to have bondage to a friend, a soul mate, or anyone else. Husband, wife, anything. You only need Jesus. And then he gives you everything else. And I believe that gifting of giving you everything, whatever you've dreamed of, it's nothing compared to what he wants to give you in this world. Even your imagination cannot even imagine heaven itself. It's so staggering. You have no idea who God is, but someday you'll see him. Someday you'll see him. And so this eternal life is everything Christianity is all about. Because if you do all of these three things, you're perfected and you're ready to go to heaven. Does that save you? No. Salvation is not a one-time event, chair four. It's 4, 5, and 6. It's a process that's going on and won't be completed till his return. Then it's complete. Then forever. You are fixed forever because of the relationship which you didn't start and you can't keep going and you can't finish. Because he did it all by faith, not by sacraments, not by anything else the church has to offer. Those things are secondary. All of it is, did you live by God's word? Did you seek me with all your heart and soul and strength? Did you? Was your whole life me? He is my all in what?
All.
He's my all in all. In other words, there isn't anything more to my life. You can't explain my life except Jesus. And I know that because I know what I'm like apart from him. I know that. I'm not even tempted. I don't want to go there. I know that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so, period. So, eternal life, it's yours for the taking. How do you take it? You can't. You cannot make yourself take it. Even repentance is a gift. Even faith is a gift. In other words, it's not a work. It cannot be a work. It's related to the promise, to the promise, to the promise. Everything that's related to a promise, because then all the weight is on the promisor to give, obligate him by acting on the promise, then he immediately comes through day by day by day. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning I need forgiveness. Every morning I need to see my sin that I need forgiveness for. Every morning I need to see that God, mercies are new every morning. Why do I need them? I'm not afraid of sin. I only want to be a believer that he's forgiven all my sin in my heart, now in my soul, and soon in my body. When I say soon, I'll see it. Because someday I'll see him. And then I'll realize, wow, I'm a Christian. So how many here are hot? Zestos in the Greek. How many here are full of zest? In other words, your whole thing that moves you is Jesus, nothing else. Amen. That's powerful.
Amen.
That's powerful. I can't make that happen. All I can do is share with you the word. Why? But it's imperfect. I know it's imperfect. Oh, that I could, but nobody ever has, so I'm not interested in that. I don't want to be perfect. I'd rather just be me. But God, I believe God, is perfecting me, and by the time he comes back, I'll be mature. I'll be ready. I'll be marriageable. They say, now you're ready. You're with a bride without spot, without wrinkle, because he could easily reject the lukewarm church because they have sin galore. But it's my fault if I don't preach the gospel and live the gospel. Not just preach it and believe it. Chair 4. But you also have to live it by being dead to this world and alive to God, so that you can now actually, your deeds are wrought in God, so that men, when they see your good works, will give glory to your Father in heaven. Eternal life is why he came, to give you his life. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. In other words, just not bios, existence, but you actually have the essence of being a child of the living God. That is only because there's freedom for the church to preach the gospel and live the gospel no matter what. You can kill me, take my life, but it's nothing. So you can take everything I have, but it's nothing. I still will be happy because of this Bible right here. Even if you take it away, I still have memorized so much of it, you can't take it away. Even if you do, I have enough in me, and I've had enough for a long time. I believe everything that's written in the Bible. And I live by that. And I don't want to be anything else. I don't want Jesus plus anything. I just want Jesus. Did you hear what I just said? I just want Jesus. And he's rich, and he's so, I can't even fathom him at all. But I want to know him every day, every day. All right. God is good. Hope you're blessed. Let's have a couple testimonies before we take the offering. Yes?
Talking about people getting along, black, white, whatever.
Yeah.
1975, I went to Brazil. And I noticed something in Brazil that there wasn't a lot of conflict and racism and everything. And I had a guide there, and I asked her, I said, well, why is that?
Yeah.
She goes, we don't count. I said, what do you mean you don't count? We don't count blacks, we don't count.
Yeah.
Browns, we don't count. Yellows,
right.
We don't count. Whites,
yeah.
We don't count because God doesn't count.
Wow.
So I was like, so the way to end racism,
yes,
is quit counting.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
And I thought, That's powerful, and I've told that to several people along the line, and they kind of look at me like, wow.
Right.
But then you can't be divisive if you can't use numbers, right?
Right. No. I disagree. I agree with that. Yes, what that person said. We don't need to count because God knows everything.
That's right.
And so that counting, it actually divides us.
That's right.
Oh, I'm this, I'm that. That's why they said we're not black. We're Christian. Ah, then I could be your apostle. Yeah. And whatever.
That's what brought that up. Which Satan.
Amen. Too powerful. Are you leaving this week?
Yeah.
What day?
Tomorrow.
Oh. Tomorrow.
Where are you going?
Let's pray before we take the offering. Let's pray for him.
Airport.
Oh, wow.
Let's pray for our brother.
Amen.
We've already prayed, but we could pray again.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you for our brother, that he's been raised right. He's been trained right. And we thank you that mother and father are believers, and the children are believers.
Yes.
And we give you praise, Lord God,
yes,
that because of that, they're beautiful in your sight.
Yes.
And so we pray that even though every test that he'll go through in the next months will be to break him down, we pray that his rock is so solid that it can never be broken down, and that he will not quit. Though it kills him, he won't quit. Because you don't want him to die physically, you want him to die psychologically. Not listen to his mind, to his will, to his emotions. No longer listen to their voices. Listen to the Word of God. Let him then bring the Word of God with him and live the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen.